This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Do you want the good news or the bad news first, guys?
I mean,
if the bad news is what I think you're going to spin it to be, I'll take the bad news first.
The bad news is the Mavericks bench lost this game tonight, 68-66.
That's pretty much where I thought you were going.
The good news is the starters added 52 points. So that means the Mavericks win 118-68 over the Utah Jazz tonight. The other thing, though, to point out is that your starters only scored 52 points, and your bench scored 66. Now, I will look. I'm going to say that the numbers, as far as minutes go, maybe that your bench played more than your starters because you were up by so much.
Yeah, your starters basically just played three quarters.
Yeah. Starters, I think the highest number of minutes, Harrison Barnes had 26 tonight because they were like, yeah, let's go ahead and get these guys off the court because they were, I don't know, was the defense so good? The Mavs figured out the Utah Jazz. What was it? Because you're looking, again, they only scored 52 points as starters, but your bench was so effective, namely with J.J. Barea, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell doing their work. That was the decider right there.
I'll certainly give the defense plenty of credit. You hold Utah to 31% shooting, and you force 21 turnovers. You can say that Utah didn't play well, but, I mean, that sounds like a hellacious defensive effort right there. And anytime you win 50 points, that's the second biggest margin of victory in franchise history. And when you hit that note, like, it's all positive, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing that doesn't say positive. And they're not coming off a back-to-back or anything like that, right? So
Utah had won three games in a row, so.
Yeah, they played the Grizzlies two nights ago. So, like, they're not, like, having a real struggle. They're not on a long road trip or anything like that. Well, I guess they actually, oh, crap. So they're playing the Grizzlies on the road, the Mavs on the road, the Sixers on the road, Celtics on the road, and then the Pacers on the road before they go back home.
But so most of the is a stint to come. There. Okay, so yeah, it hasn't happened.
The
yet.
Mavericks really stuffed it to them tonight, and that's something nice to see. And like, it's not one of those games where you can sit back and say, "Man, Luka really went out there and showed that he dominated the Utah Jazz in this game." But for the Mavericks to have that big of a win with an all-out team effort of a group of guys that everybody that was active tonight, everybody that was active at all, scored at least 4 points. Even DeAndre Jordan scored 4 points tonight. And everybody else that was active at least had 4 points on the evening. That's a really exceptional type of night.
I think the best thing about this night is it was already going to be an awesome night because it was the salute to soldiers, the Seats for Soldiers event. So more than 100 wounded service members were given front row seats, 120 to be specific, were given courtside seats and a four-course meal. So the tickets are always donated by the season ticket holders. And by the way, they said the value for all this, about $350,000.
Wow.
Because, I mean, these are amazing seats. And they also got a four-course meal that included a steak dinner and a seven-layer cake for a dessert. And it also offered, like, if you didn't get in on this, the team offered discounted tickets to any active duty, reserve, retiree, or veteran military service member as part of the event. So they've been doing this since 2004. It's always a cool night. And then when you add in that we beat the ever-loving bejesus out of the Jazz, then it just makes it magical.
Parker was pointing out that there, and we talked about this a little earlier, Favors push J.J. Barea into the front row, and there were a number of servicemen sitting in those front row seats, as you said. And there was a little scuffle going on over there. But now there's a bunch of pictures floating around of Dwight Powell, the only person who's like, you know what, I'm going to go make sure all these military men are taken care of. And it was helping people up off the floor and everything.
Man, props to him. Do you think when he helped them up, the service people were like, do you need us to go wreck shop?
Yeah, I'll take care of this for you.
And they're like, hold on, let's not, just because we've already beaten the Jazz down enough. And they're all like, ha,
If you're a member of the military and you were on the front row tonight and Dwight Powell bumped into you, text in right now, 877-881-1053. You're just now getting into your car, and the Mavs win 118-68 over the Jazz. You were there, you know. Mm-hmm. But we want to know. We want to hear from you. What were you thinking whenever Dwight Powell was helping you up? Were you asking him, should we go wreck shop?
Now, in the meantime, what are you thinking about this quote from Trae Young? He told Sports Illustrated, the thing with Luka, he's a great player. I don't understand why it can't work out for both situations. I was like, okay, that's totally reasonable. But then he goes on. I always hear Atlanta made a mistake all the time. Luka's a great dude, and I think he's going to be a really good player. But at the same time, I'm going to be a better player. Just because of my ability to stretch the floor, get others involved, I think I'm going to be better.
All right. So what are the numbers on these two young players at the moment?
All right. Trae Young, 18.5 points per game. Doncic, 19.6.
All right. So Doncic wins currently there.
By 1.1.
All right.
Doncic, 6.5 boards per game. Young, 3.3. So now Doncic is up by 4.4. However, assists, Doncic 4.4 and Trae Young 8.2. So that still gives Doncic a slight advantage over Trae Young at the moment. But I don't know. I was kind of fascinated by that quote to just come out and say, like, but I'm going to be the better player. Because the first part of it, I was like, oh, sure, I get that. You know, why can't it just work out for both of them? But to just flat out say, yeah, I'm going to be a better player, and here's the reasons why. That was a pretty bold statement right there.
He's affected by this.
Oh, he's clearly pissed that everyone keeps saying they made a mistake.
Yeah, no, this is a guy that, you know, he was being compared to Steph in college.
Right.
You know, and he started believing it. You go watch OU games and watch him play Steph ball. And and during that stretch where he couldn't do anything, yes, he had a trash team around him. Well, that team wasn't any good. He was the one carrying that thing. But he was also shooting shots. You were like, dude, you have no reason shooting or trying attempting that right now. But I guess if your plan is to play that way in the NBA, get your practice in college. You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead and get those shots off in college and see what you can and can't do and try and figure out how you can become a better type of player. But it's clear that this guy, and he even said it, Kevin, how's Michael Porter Jr. doing right now in the NBA?
I don't think he's playing.
Okay. All right. But he said it in the NBA in the combine or going into the draft. He said, I'm the best player in this draft. Porter Jr. said it too. And I remember Trae Young saying it and a lot of people laughing. And I think that's something that's driving Trae Young right now because he's having a pretty good front, you know, first part of his rookie campaign here. And I think it's because he's got this chip on his shoulder. He got passed up. He got traded for all these things. And people are saying he can't. You're never going to be Steph. And so I think he's got this chip on his shoulder. And that's the reason he's saying something like this. It's just weird that he's scoped in on Luka Doncic as the guy that he's focused on.
I mean, that's the guy that they was swapped for. So I kind of get it. You don't think any Mavericks fans at this point, like, certainly none of them are regretting, right? Like, none of them are going, man, Trae Young can stretch the floor. Trae Young can do this. I kind of wish we would have not made the deal.
What have you seen Doncic not be able to do so far?
Exactly. So I'm just curious if there are Mavericks fans out there that say, yeah, I'm kind of regretting it so far.
I wouldn't see that there was going to be any right now. I mean, everything that we were kind of
seem odd.
Were sold on Luka, and by looking at what he did over across the pond, it's kind of translated really well to over here. Just looking at a rookie playing, and he's kind of a step above where you would think a rookie that's coming over from the Euro leagues and making it over here. We saw how long it took Dirk. Mm-hmm. To actually mature and work his way into this. And you're seeing a faster process with Luka Doncic. And as far as Trae Young's concerned, if that's what drives you, that's what drives you. And if I was a fan of his team and hearing him say that, I'd be like, hell yeah,
Yeah.
You do what you need to do because you're doing good.
Yeah, if Doncic was saying something like that, we'd be backing him up too,
That's
right?
That's true.
Everybody would be all about, Doncic is on. Yeah, and keep that chip on your shoulder.
Right.
Or whatever. Like, it'd
kinda
be weird for him.
I kind of do want him to step out and say that now, right? Be like, well, Trae Young's a chump, and I'll show him.
I think there's a part of me, though, Kevin, that hears that and thinks, I'm glad he's not. I'm glad that this is a grown man at 19 that stepped into the NBA. And that's one of the questions that I have watching him play. Like, is it going to hurt his chances to win Rookie of the Year? Because when you watch him go out there on the court, he doesn't look like a rookie. He looks just as mature and just as good as any of the other veterans he's playing around. You don't see the rookie mistakes. Even when he has an off game, he's out there dropping 12 or 15 points, 7 boards and 5 assists, and going toe-to-toe with LeBron at the end of the game. Like, he hasn't had that moment where you step back and you look and be like, man, this is a dude that needs to have that chip on his shoulder because he's going to be overlooked. No, this is a grown man that stepped into the league, and he's only going to continue to get better.
Yeah. He's got a really good point there. Because you are watching a guy that I think one of the things that you're not seeing from grown men in the NBA is the joy that he has playing the game, and that's something that's like refreshing about Luka right now. And so I'm all in on what Luka's given the Mavs as a fan. Now the other thing is Rick Carlisle said tonight after the game, he said, I think this is the best performance defensively I can remember. I can't remember a better defensive performance from Mavericks team in 11 years. And Rick Carlisle's seen this thing, and they put together some strong defensive efforts. And, I mean, whenever – what did we talk about was the shortcoming of Dirk throughout his career.
Sure.
And Luka's part of a team that tonight their coach said that was the best defensive performance he's ever seen from a team.
And I also feel like Rick Carlisle is not one to just throw out compliments for no reason.
Nope.
He's like, hey – you might be feeling bad, so I just wanted to say great job. Like, that doesn't sound like something that he would do. So for him to come out and say that this is the best defensive effort that he's seen, then I would definitely be inclined to believe that.
He also tempered that quote, followed it up a little
there
later with
go.
A much more Carlisle thing where, you know, quote, we're not this good and they're not this bad. That's just the way this league works.
Okay, but like, I don't even think that's Carlisle-esque. I think that's something that makes sense when you talk about like a 50-point win. There can't have been that many 50-point wins in the history of the NBA. What, like 100, 200? So like in the history of the NBA, a 50-point margin of victory doesn't happen a whole lot. So
right.
I think it's logical to step out and say, we're probably not that good and they're probably not that bad in light of a 50-point margin of victory. Like, that totally makes sense to me.
From the 972, Luka is awesome. One thing he can't do is be fast. But
that's true.
But there you've seen guys in the league that have a different speed and a different level of speed. And I'm not asking him to run the court at, you know, Devin Harris speed. I am asking him to, you know, get to the basket, and he can do that. And he does it in a very unique way. And I know this is a really dumb comparison, but did y'all remember Marquise Daniels?
Yes.
Remember how he looked like he was moving so slow, but there was something like people just the next thing they knew he was past them. And that's one of the things I see with Luka is you're always looking at him going, okay, which move is he going to pull on me? Well, you know, is it going to be the step back three? Is it going to be, you know, is he driving the basket? Is he going to pass? There are so many things that he can do. And that is, you know, one of the Bird things, one of the LeBron things, is those guys have so much in their arsenal. They can be not as fast, but they can still, they're still have you off balance the entire game because you never know what they're going to do. And that's what I see with Luka right now. There are a couple things. I can take some things away from Trae Young. But his speed is something that's pretty impressive. But you take away a couple things from his game, and yeah, you've eliminated him. Luka can still stay relevant, even if you've taken away a couple of things from him.
A couple things I'm excited about what the outcome of this game does is, first of all, it propels the Mavericks' point differential into a positive. And you might not think that's a big deal because they don't do, like, aggregate scoring in the NBA, and I get that. But it's an easy barometer for how successful you're going to be. Like, you just look at the Western Conference, the top 7 teams all have positive point differential. And what happens when you fall below the playoff line? The numbers turn red. It's the same thing in the Eastern Conference, so that's a positive. more of a positive for the Mavericks is now they're making a run at 500, which mm-hmm. is what I kind of deem as success for the season. Like, I know a lot of people have their hearts set on the playoffs, and if that happens, then rock on. But it ain't going to happen if you're not near 500. And so you look back when they were 2-7, and you're like, ugh, is this what it's going to be all year long? And coincidentally enough, the only game you've lost since then was to the Jazz. But now you're putting together a run where you're getting closer to 500. And if this team can hang around for at 500 or close to there for most of the season, then I think we'll all be happy with the turnout.
I'm watching this play right now that I think depicts Luka to a T. And y'all are probably going to see it a lot tomorrow on social media. And it's from the Dallas Mavs Twitter account. And it's this angle from underneath the basket. And first off, Luka is behind the basket when he takes the shot. So it's already like he's taking one of those ridiculous shots you probably shouldn't take anyway.
Sure.
It bounces off the rim. He grabs the rebound, collects the rebound over Derek Favors. And then he attempts four different passes with four different Utah Jazz players around him, catches them all off guard and goes up for the basket. Like, all these Mavs are kind of like, hey, I can, yeah, I'll take the pass. They're all open, but all the defenders that are standing right next to Luka back away because they don't know what he's doing. And he's like, hey, I'll just go up to the bucket here and I'll make it easy too. And that's what he's able to do. And that's why this team, in maybe the Cowboys, don't have the ability to sit and wait for their thing to develop. But you're going to watch this Mavs team develop. They're eventually going to get over that 500, Kevin.
The Dallas Mavericks, in case you missed it, this is not incorrect, defeat the Utah Jazz 118-68. The 50-point margin of victory tied for the second biggest in Mavericks franchise history, trailing over only a 53-point win over the 76ers. So, hey, go Mavs.